Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Valla Giri Varadari Gopi Jana Valla Giri Varadari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Dandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Dandana Jamuna Tira Vanata Ri Jamuna Tira Vanata Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe Gaura Prema Nandi Ari Ari Bo
Okay, das kann man so machen, so schön.
So, Hare Krishna. I would like to just introduce a little bit my two lectures. They are called A Guide, not the Living Name, A Guide to Absorption. It is the content is taken from the same book title of the new book, The Living Name. And when Bhagavad Dharma phoned me in India, or maybe it was messaged me, I don't remember, asking for the title of my presentations during the Sangha Mela, I said to him, I had these two lectures in mind, which I will give, but I had a different title. I said, it's about five keys for improving our lives. And with this title, I think it becomes clear what chanting, at least in my understanding, is. It is not an isolated spiritual practice, a sadhana through which we get something else. For instance, for some people who do yoga, they may not have understood it correctly, but for some, yoga is just a means to become healthy. It is not really something which they value very much in itself, like riding a bicycle or doing sport. They do it in order to attain something which they value very much, health. And in this way, the practice is isolated from the goal. Or other sadhanas, other practices, like for instance, giving charity for someone is something he does so that he gets the blessings which come when you practice compassion towards other living entities. It's not something which you do, which people do because in them, in itself, they value the practice. They may even dislike giving away their hard-earned wealth in charity, but they know I do it for a higher goal, and they do it. Chanting is not like this. Chanting is not a sadhana to which you do to obtain Krishna consciousness, or a sadhana which you do to purify your heart and your mind so that it becomes a place where the Lord is pleased to sit and to reveal himself. Chanting is in itself already the goal, because in chanting we understand that the name of the Lord is identical with the Lord. And when we make a good relationship to the holy name, then our relationship with Krishna is good. When we see the holy name, when we perceive the holy name, then we see Krishna. When we chant the holy name nicely, we are aware, we become aware of our true identity and our relationship with the Lord in that identity. Therefore, there is a prayer which says, the liberated souls, those who have attained what they need to be, what they wish to attain, they always praise the names of the Lord. They don't give this up, as you give up a sadhana when you have gained your particular result, because for them chanting means to associate with Krishna in their relationship. So both conditioned souls chant and liberated souls chant. Only it is one is immature chanting and the other is mature chanting. Prabhupada gave the example, what we do in bhakti on the conditioned state is like an unripe, a green mango. And what we do when we are more realized is like a ripe, or you could say a ripening mango, a mango which is developing its taste and its beauty and its delightfulness. When you can improve your relationship to the Holy Name, my dear devotees, you will immediately feel that peace, that feeling of having arrived at a place you never want to leave again, because you are in your relationship with Krishna. And therefore, these five powerful methods which are introduced in the Living Name are not just powerful methods to increase the sadhana or develop the sadhana of chanting nicely. It's actually something which changes your whole life, because their relationship with Krishna is so substantial. It's something so substantial that when you have it, you have found your eternal life. Therefore, I did not want to say in the beginning, this is all only about chanting. No, this is about our life, the essence of our life. It's about ourselves as pure souls and about Krishna and our relationship. The book The Living Name has been, it came after 5 years of intense writing, and it was written again and again, rewritten, to condense it, to make it not so big, so that devotees can really find help to bring their chanting alive. Krishna really is there when they chant. The first point in the Living Name is Yojana. It's an ancient approach which many scriptures use, where they describe really how you can prepare your life so that you have ideal circumstances. I will not talk about this point here in Goloka Dham. And the second is Sambandha, entering a relationship with Krishna. So we will talk about this, and we will talk about it in relationship to the Holy Names, so that it works really for you. So let us please chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everybody please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. it's a beauty in doing things responsively. Responding to the chanting. We usually one person chants and then the other respond to the chanting, and that is because it engages us more completely, first in just hearing and then in speaking. And in this way the mind, which is restless, can be captured from two sides, the hearing, just hearing, and the chanting. That's one of the many reasons why we chant first one person and then everyone else, like we do in kirtan. Say sarva vedera avideya nama sadana bhakti hoitehaya premera udgama. Sei sava vedera. Very nice to see your enthusiasm, but just wait a little bit more and then I will give you a sign if it's good for you. Sei sava vedera videya nama. Sei sava vedera videya nama. Sadan bhakti hoita haya premera udgama. Sadan bhakti hoita haya premera udgama. Sei sava vedera avideya nama. Sadan bhakti hoite haya premera udgama.
Sadan bhakti hoite haya premera udgama.
Sei sarva vedera avideya nama.
Sei sarva vedera avideya nama.
Saran bhakti hoite haya premera udgama. Sei sava vedera avideya nama. Sadan bhakti hoite haya premera udgama.
Sei sava vedera avideya nama.
Yes, maybe a Mataji, if you could sing. Please don't be shy. It just
say sava vedera.
Sei sava vedera,
sei sava vedera,
That is the essence of all Vedic literature. Abhideya Nama. The process called Abhideya or devotional activities. Sadhana Bhakti. Yes. Prabhupada says it's another name of this process, so it's called the process or devotional activities. Mm-hmm. Or here it is. Devotional service and practice. A very nice definition. Devotional service and practice. That's sadhana bhakti. Heute. From this. Higher. There is. Primera. Of love of Godhead. Udgama. Awakening. Now, by doing devotional service in practice under the direction of the spiritual master, certainly one awakens his dormant love of Godhead. This process is called Abhideya. Prabhupada gives this purport. By the practice of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, the impure heart of a conditioned soul is purified, and thus he can understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That eternal relationship is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Svarubhaya Krishna Nityadas. The living entity is an eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one is convinced of this relationship, which is called Sambandha, he then acts accordingly. And that is called Abhideya. Prabhupada, in another book, writes about this in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto. He writes very nicely, he says, when one is deeply convinced that he or she is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the mind is very nicely purified. That's the state of purification of the mind. Therefore, we often find when devotees are not able to enter a festival and everything looks a little bit different, maybe even slightly irritating, for instance, so many people in the same bathroom, or we did not sleep well, or the kirtan was, we couldn't enter it nicely. So when one is a little irritated, that happens in the mind of the conditioned soul. But when you then do some service, it goes, because the mind is purified. So that conviction, I am a servant of Krishna, that is the best purification which is there in the mind. The next step is prayojana siddhi, or fulfillment of the ultimate goal of one's life. If one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act accordingly, automatically his mission in life is fulfilled. If one can understand his relationship and acts accordingly, relationship with Krishna, automatically his mission in life is fulfilled. The Mayavadi philosophers miss even the first stage in self-realization because they have no conception of God's being personal. He is the master of all, and he is the only person who can accept the service of all living entities. But since this knowledge is lacking in Mayavada philosophy, Mayavadis do not have knowledge even of their relationship with God. They wrongly think that everyone is God, or that everyone is equal to God. Therefore, since the real position of the living entity is not clear to them, how can they advance further? Although they are very much puffed up at being liberated, Mayavadi philosophers very shortly fall down again to material activities due to their neglecting the lotus feet of the Lord. We heard about this in the Govardhana retreat. There was Bilva Mangala, and he described himself, "I was worshipped by those on the path of yoga and those who followed the Advaita philosophy. I was worshipped. They built a golden throne for me, and they worshipped me on the throne. But then something happened to me. My mind was stolen by a little boy, Gopal." So he describes the change. But he had a very, very strong accident on his path. He became, as a Mayavadi, very much attracted to Chintamani and gave up all his life, his relatives, his everything. He became totally, let us say, a slave to his material desires. So Prabhupada writes about this. Although these Mayavadis are very puffed up and at being liberated, Mayavadi philosophers very shortly fall down again to material activities due to their neglecting the lotus feet of the Lord. That is called Patantyada. Yenye ravindaksha vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya aruya kritshrena padam padam tata patantyado brahmanas nadrita yoshmat angraya. Here it is said that persons who think themselves liberated but do not execute devotional service, not knowing their relationship with the Lord, are certainly misled. One must know his relationship with the Lord and act accordingly. Then the fulfillment of his life's mission will be possible. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatyade Sadarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
For me, my spiritual life turned around when I understood that the Absolute Truth is not an it, but a he. That was a great, great discovery, because I was also very much, I had come from the Christian background, and I thought, can't be that the most old person has a beard, which are signs of degeneration, which happened to the hair when you get old. You know, you get the gray hair. It can't just be. So I was more attracted to the other philosophy, that Lord is inconceivable, or let us say the absolute truth. I didn't know of the Lord at that time any longer. It's inconceivable. It's a truth. It's a substance which is beyond material calculation. But then, when I met the devotees and read the Bhagavad Gita, I did understand that, my God, he's a he, and he likes to dance and joke and so on and so forth. Every conditioned soul suffers in some ways from what we can call an ancient forgetfulness, an old forgetfulness, an old illusion, which brings about an inner darkness where we feel bereft of our relationship with our beloved Lord. We have no clue what this is. And even when coming to Krishna consciousness, there is a hesitation in many of the members to join a song like the Brijbasi sing, "O Gopal, you are mine and I'm yours." Finished. We have a relationship, you and me. There's a hesitation in this. This ancient forgetfulness that we are actually a part of Krishna. We are eternal. We are full of bliss. We are full of knowledge. Everything is all right. There's nothing to worry about. It's clouding the minds of many devotees also. Do you know that you don't have to do anything to be good? You are good. You are eternal. You are full of bliss. Of course, we have to wake up, no? But it's already there. You don't have to become something which is not yet there already. It is there. You can be totally at peace, and you are loved by the Lord just because you are there. Just like a good father will always love his children, even when they are forgetting him. He will think of them with thoughts. So when will this person come back to me? So even in chanting, when we are not aware of this sacred space, that I'm with the Lord and I'm singing now his names or chanting his names, then it is not nourishing us. Haridas Thakur speaks about this. He says, as long as someone does not understand that he has an eternal relationship with Krishna, the individual soul takes shelter in Namabhasa, the shadow of the holy name. It's shadow chanting, not the real thing. But if a person, by a saintly Vaishnava's mercy, understands his relationship with Krishna and chants Lord Krishna's holy name, he attains a great treasure of spiritual love. This is told here in this verse. By engaging in devotional practice, in devotional service in practice, no? By engaging in devotional service in practice, under the direction of the spiritual master, no? The great Vaishnava, no? And certainly one awakens his dormant or sleeping love of Godhead. This process is called Abhideya. No? So we are, when we meet Vaishnav, then at that time the Vaishnava will talk to us. He will say something which is extremely dear to our heart, sometimes which encourages us. He will say, written this is here in the book somewhere, I will find it for you. He will say, yes, here it is. Hey, you have wandered in the material world and you have taken one birth after another. Don't you know? You are pure spirit soul and you are an eternal servant of Krishna. So someone who hears this, and who meditates about this, wow, I'm a pure soul, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, he will first of all feel a little bit, my God, I've forgotten that totally, and he laments, oh no, alas, what have I done? Why have I served this illusory material energy, Maya, for so long? And this becomes a big problem. Such a soul cries out, Krishna, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has been completely devastated. So this is a turning point in chanting also. When you sit down, you're there with your, let us say, japa, and or you're there in a kirtan, and the holy name is also there. It's on your lips, it's in the atmosphere, and you still think a little bit, my God, my shopping list, I have to buy this soya sauce. Tahin is, we are running low on tahin. And all of a sudden you think, oops, this doesn't fit here. This is a different thing. This is a shopping list. I'm doing now japa. What is it all about? I'm a servant of Krishna. I belong to him. You are mine and I'm yours. All of a sudden, the shopping list is on second place. Your difficult relationship where you have fought again for half an hour with someone, that has to be taken care of, but not just now. Just now you have to think, Krishna, I'm chanting your name now. I don't want to be... Prabhupada says, I feel a little embarrassed that I have been a servant of the material energy of Maya so long. I'm and so on. When Krishna sees this attitude of a devotee becoming aware, you and me, the relationship, then Krishna, it says here, and it's from Prema Vivata, Krishna is so merciful that if anyone appeals to him earnestly, then he immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement. There's a result, you can feel it. Krishna gives the mercy to such a person, and immediately you feel like, oh, I have been in kirtans where devotees all of a sudden became more aware. They looked to the deities, they folded their hands, they cried. And I went afterwards to them and said, I'm sorry, I'm so curious by nature. It doesn't stop even as I grow older. I have this question. In this kirtan, something happened to you? Then the devotee will look at me and ask if I'm serious, if I really want to know, if he can trust me. And sometimes they say, yes, Yes, something happened to me. I still can't understand what it is, but I felt all of a sudden I have been very absent in my relationship in Krishna consciousness. I have been so much in other thoughts, big talk, but I've missed the essence really, and it was really a wake-up experience for me. And so do people say after holy name retreats. They come and said, "This changed my life, Maharaj." I said, then they say, "What did you do?" I said, "Nothing, nothing, nothing. It's Krishna who does everything." And it continues, the result, you know, Krishna releases the jiva when we turn to him. Then when the jiva breaks away, the living entity, or let us be just very personal, if you break away from Maya's captivating spell and then strives towards Lord Krishna, "Oh, I want to read more, I must know more about you, and I must do some service, call at the temple, wow, what, do you need anything? Money? I have money, no problem, here. What else? A hand? Oh, I'm very impractical, but I mean, I can sweep the floor. Okay, I'm coming, just now coming." So when Krishna sees that someone goes in his direction by rendering devotional service, then he gains the supreme shelter. And anyone, my dear devotees, anyone who feels sheltered, the word in Sanskrit is Ashraya, or in English you would say a sanctuary, who enters a sanctuary, immediately such a person loses all his fears, all his anxieties. It was very interesting in our attempt to find a good fitting name for what we wish to do in India at the site of Govardhan, this retreat center which is developing. We found now the name. Can I say it? It's the Govardhan Sanctuary. The Sanskrit word is Govardhan Ashraya. I asked Krishna Murari Goswami from Nandagram, what is sanctuary in Hindi? And I think it will give you a good idea. He said it's the Abhayavan. Abhayavan means the forest without fear. The Bhagavatam describes this as the forest of material existence where there are tigers prowling. Prowling means they want to grab someone and eat him, and so on. And you can read it. It's in the fifth canto. There are thorns and elephants in the forest of material existence and what else. I mean, it's really scary. It's like, woo! But sanctuary means the forest without fear. Even in the material world, you can enter a space, my dear devotees, which is called ashraya in Sanskrit, that is a sanctuary or a forest without fear. Everything is taken care of. Lord Krishna speaks about this. When you have this ashraya, you don't need medicine, you don't need friends, everything is provided to you by the person you take shelter of. The text, ancient text continues, then when someone has found shelter at the lotus feet, Lord Krishna makes the soul strong, with his transcendental potency. Wow, no material potency. And the overbearing power of the Lord's spiritual potency weakens Maya's influence over the living entity. No, overbearing means that it's an overwhelming power of Krishna. It makes Maya weak, and the influence of Maya weak. This happens all after you have met a saintly person who has convinced you that you are not Maya Das, but you are Krishna Das. this switch is there. This is in that Living Name book. There's a very nicely these verses, ancient verses, are quoted. Now this also means when you sing kirtan, who of you is a kirtan leader, if I may ask? At times. You're afraid? I will not say anything to you, which is... are we not all kirtan leaders at times when we sing in our home, when we invite people? Prabhupada gave a very, very interesting instruction to kirtan leaders. This doesn't only relate now to Ojashvi and who else do we have? Gaur Krishna and Jai Gopal. It is something really for all of us who want to do kirtan. He said, your business is not to satisfy the crowd. No? But anyone who sings, he has to see that the audience is pleased. No? Not in kirtan. It's different. Here, listen. Your business is not to satisfy the crowd. Your business is to satisfy Krishna. Wow, some of you know. And then the crowd will be automatically satisfied. Because what they feel is, I have seen, as I'm sometimes also, not sometimes, I often lead kirtan, although I can't really do it very well. When there is devotion in the kirtan leader, it somehow spreads because everyone wants it. And then takes it up in their chanting. That is my realization. I was once in Shidam Mayapur leading a kirtan. There were like massive amount of devotees, and then we were all over the cable TV. I learned this when I bought a coconut, and the coconut waller said, "Whoa! I saw you on the internet." I said, "Really? Yes, very nice singing." I said, it's all right. But we are not out for public record. So I had been in this one kirtan, and oh, I was sweaty. I was mental, hungry. There was no breakfast that day for me. Hungry, and I remember I was disturbed. Why does everyone only come in the evening session when the stars come? Why not for the whole Kirtan Mela? It's about Krishna. So I was like this, and then, oh, chanting it, I was not getting the right melody, then I did not get the right pitch. Pitch means how high you sing. When you sing very high, Hare Krishna, then you can't sing for long because your voice breaks, and everything was wrong, especially my consciousness. Then I just, while the kirtan was going on, I thought, wait a minute, you're cheating the devotees. They came to engage in glorifying Krishna, and you are now only with voices. You lament about your lost breakfast, and everything else is in your mind. How do they say in London? Shape up now. No? Listen up. Chant up. Like this. So I tried to correct this. And it was in the beginning not possible. I felt like going through a desert, really, very exhausted. But I prayed to Krishna as good as I can. All of a sudden, I looked around, and everyone was dancing and chanting and smiling and laughing, and I thought, what happened? They got some devotion. Devotion is infectious, like the smell of a good incense. It spreads everywhere. Mm-hmm. So we are not going to please the crowd. We are Prabhupada says, your business is to satisfy Krishna, and then the crowd will be automatically satisfied. We are not going to please the crowd. No, we are going to give them Krishna. So you should be very much careful and ask yourself whether you are delivering Krishna in the right way. Then they will be satisfied, referring to the people. No? Your only business should be to satisfy Krishna. And this is an instruction for those who lead kirtan, but of course, this is the whole idea of kirtan, to glorify Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, to please him, because he's wonderful. Jiva Goswami says, because he does such wonderful activities, and he's so beautiful, and that's why you glorify him. My dear devotees, at the end of the Bhagavatam, there is a very intense atmosphere in the crowd. Parikshit Maharaj, the righteous emperor, is about to die. And everyone knows there will be 10 minutes or maybe half an hour. No one knows exactly when the curse will come true. A snake will come who has wings and will bite the king. Imagine we would know that any one of you will be bitten in 5 minutes. We would be by a snake. We would all go like... By the way, in India, I finally found out that snakes can fly. No, I'm not joking. We in the Govardhan retreat center, where we built the retreat center, there is one place which the locals said, there in this place, in ancient time, the rumor is that a king buried his treasure. Sounds very romantic, no? So our workers were digging there. Choo, 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 choo. Do you know what? All of a sudden, there was a big snake. We have a lot of snakes. They slowly vacate the place. Don't be afraid, but it's snake loca. You know, it used to be the open fields near Giriraj. And amazing snakes who have... One I saw one picture. One snake has a head on the front and on the tail. Don't ask me how and they sometimes switch. The intelligence is sometimes in this head and then in the other. Snakes. And it's a whole knowledge. Those of you who have studied the Naga cult in South India know about varieties of snakes and what they do. So anyways, they saw, the workers saw something which totally frightened them. A large snake with wings flying up into the sky and then going in a circle around them. And they thought, not me, not me, not me, please. And they all ran, and we have stopped digging for the treasure there. I said, I can't believe there is one. And anyways... Let it be there if it wants to be there. But that's not the concern at the moment. But that snake, and I heard it from two sources. First I thought, come on, you're joking. And they said, no, no, no. I said, a picture, please. And then they showed me all kinds of pictures of the snakes with two heads, etc. But not that snake who flew. And I said, why no picture? We were afraid, Maharaj. When you are afraid and you feel you are attacked, you don't take your I mean, maybe some people do, but we don't do. They didn't do. But they're good devotees. They don't say anything like this. So the audience in Naimisha, was it Naimisha? No, in Shukratal, that's near Haridwar, where the Bhagavatam was spoken, the audience was very afraid, my dear devotees, that the snake would come and kill first of all Parikshit, and then the snake would be there. So in this atmosphere, Shukadev, the speaker of the Bhagavatam, finished his katha. He wanted to first of all take all fear away from Parikshit Maharaj of his impending death. Impending means just before the door. Huh? And what he did is he spoke about the dynasties once again, where kings have just come and kings have gone. So he wanted to say, nothing here is eternal. Just like all the kings before you have come and gone, you will also come and go. And then maybe Parikshit must have thought, but one more birth, you know, to rule everything and finish everything. I'm cursed to die so young. I may not have fulfilled everything. And then our Shukadev Goswami said, no, and the future will be really intense. The Kali Yuga is just now coming. And then he gave the symptoms of Kali Yuga. I won't go through the list, but, you know, oh, people will be cruel, they will be totally forgetful of Dharma, they will lie, they will cheat, for a little sense enjoyment they're ready to break friendships, and everything is a really bad picture. And then he says, as he sees Parikshit Maharaj going really sad, that this is the time which is now coming, and it will overwhelm my kingdom, and everything which I have tried will be destroyed by Kali. Then Shukadev says makes a very interesting point. He says, although Kali Yuga is so bad, it's a ocean of faults, really. Ocean of mistakes. Great saints glorify Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga ki jay, they will say, because there is this one good quality is there. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya, the name of Krishna. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. When I was in Vrindavan, I was also as part of my Kartik Vrata, finishing the reading of the Bhagavatam, and I came to this part, you know, and I felt so encouraged to continue with my program to glorify the Lord's holy name and chant it. No? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes it very clear how one good quality, when it's there, one very good quality, all the problems can be taken care of. He gives the example of a king. As one king alone can kill many thieves in the kingdom, this one good quality destroys all the faults, all the mistakes of Kali Yuga that were just mentioned. Prabhu's Amadajis, don't we all want to know, is there something which helps really if I invest in it? Is there a simple process? I'm not so much of a scholar like we have so many good scholars now in ISKCON. It's amazing what you know, the amount of spiritual knowledge which devotees have. These all these young devotees who can remember everything. And you think, is that a help for me? I'm a little simple. I come from I was never a scholar. I ran away from school. But is there something you can give me which I can remember? And it's this one good quality. Invest in this. Shukadev Goswami says, in the Kali Yuga, the objects are polluted, places are polluted, now he speaks about each one of us, and even individual personalities are all polluted. The almighty person, you know, polluted means not that you have a bad intention, a bad motivation, but there are things which you wish should not be there in your character, no? The almighty personality of Godhead, however, he can remove all such contamination, you know, like the king who can drive out the thieves. The almighty personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contaminations from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his mind. Note this, please. I have missed it for many years. It's about fixing the Lord within the mind. If you have a spiritual practice, kirtan, japa, but you don't have the Lord fixed in your mind, you only have half of it. More of this tomorrow. It's not complete. And if it's not complete, it will not work. This here, this treasure box, is, you know, it's full of light. If there is only the minus pole, it will not light. There has to be minus and the plus pole. Or if the lungs, you can do with one lung. No. There are examples in this world where you need the two to make the one thing work. No? So if the chanting is mindless, that's the point. It will not work so much. He says, my dear king, know one thing. The supreme personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller. He can do everything. He is the supreme soul, Savatma. He's there in your soul. And he's also the supreme shelter, Sava Sangshraya. He's the ashraya, not the shelter of all beings. When meditated upon by those who are about to die, he reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity, Atma Bhavam. Some of you are appreciating detailed spiritual philosophy. The Siddha Swarup, that is revealed by the Lord if you meditate about him at the time of death by chanting his holy name. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this point very clear. He says, it's through chanting alone, which is independent of meditation and other processes, that one attains the highest human goal, prema. That's one reading, but then he says, chanting by itself can produce results. Then what to speak if one combines meditation and the other bhakti processes with chanting? Okay, you can chant and a result can come. Remember Ajamil, at the time of death, he chanted mindlessly. Narayan! He meant his son, not the Lord. That can produce results. No, he was born again. Not born again. He was brought to life and he could do sadhana in Rishikesh for quite some time. He practiced not mindless chanting, that was before. Now he had a reform. He saw, my God, this is powerful. And he now engaged in deity worship and fixed the Lord in his mind. So when you combine it with thinking of Krishna, wow, the result is very great. Krishna Prema is there. This is a very important point, my dear devotees, and you should please take note of it. That's why you must learn to chant in relationship, in a sense of sambandha. If you don't learn this, you have half of the process, which works. Yes, it will work in some ways, but not in the complete way. Chanting and being mindful of Krishna. How to do this? We read in the amongst ourselves, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave an instruction. He said, one should meditate on songs from Narottam Das Thakur, you know, where he says, "Oh my Lord, I have wasted this human form of life. Hari Hari Bifale." And one should keep these things in one's heart and then chant the holy name. This is how you put it in the heart, some Krishna, Krishna, some prayer, and then you chant in a prayerful mood, and then you are with Krishna. I wanted to give you an example. I hope I find it. Yes, the prostitute, Pingala, it's from Bhagavatam, don't fear. Pingala, you remember, she lived by serving the lusty desire of uncultured men, and a festival came, a day came up. So that's usually a good time to get a lot of customers. But somehow on that, she stood at the entrance of the gate, displaying all kinds of attractive features, lipstick maybe, you know, making herself supremely attractive. But no one stopped. That never happened before. She just looked. What's wrong? Today is a festival, no? And everyone passed her, who was a potential customer. So at the end, she understood something. And she made this turning point. And I think in principle, everyone can make a turning point in their spiritual life in whatever situation. It's not bound. The Bhagavatam doesn't speak about isolated cases. It always speaks that we can learn something about it. And she prayed to the Lord. She said, "I'm such a fool. I have given up the service of that person who, being eternally situated within my heart, is actually most dear to me. I've given up the service of that most dear one. He's in my heart. That most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who bestows real love and real happiness and is the source of all prosperity. You can get everything from him. Although he is in my own heart, I have completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served these insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. I'm such a fool. I've given up this service." Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a comment which relates this incident. I mean, no one here is even thinking of such persons like Pingala, but this relates it all to us. He says, "The Lord resides in my heart. He is the actual enjoyer. He loves and he accepts love. Why should I not give my love to him? And why would he not give his love to me?" This is the thought of the devotee. No, it's there. So this is a little bit one key. I've met many devotees who said, when I was a child, I would always pray to the Lord. I was always turned to Him. I remember I was such a wild boy. I would always in the evening just pray to the Lord, please, my Lord, make me pious. And I'm just running all around so that I come to you in the heavens. You know, I want to be with you. Little boy's prayer. Many have told me they have done this. They come from such backgrounds. Of course, not those who are born in atheistic families. But even maybe when there was a difficult time and a murderer came in the disco and shot 5 people, you know, I don't know, but most of us have not such a dramatic life in the this is simple turning to the Lord. We have to learn it again, this time more mature, this time there's more information, this time there is more of a practice available. But we may have to learn that again so that we can also experience a sanctuary in our life. The chanting of the holy name should be a sanctuary. Devotees should look forward. Not they shouldn't think, oh, no, I have to do this. I have to chant. How many rounds? Oh, I've only chanted 5 rounds? That's not possible. This counting beads, I will buy a new set. You know, no, it should be a sanctuary, something you look forward. This is my time with Krishna. And at that time, your chanting will become substantial. It will awaken to life. You will chant the living name. You will contact the living name. And you will be surprised as if you chant for the first time. Hare Krishna. I've said what I wanted to say. I believe so. I'm looking at my books. There's always more, but Pasharam is also there. This is something very important, my dear devotees. This is something which is really a turning point in spiritual life. This will uplift your life very, very significantly. You may read these beautiful verses, these beautiful prayers. We have tried to put them all in one place. Where is it now? It's gone. Someone stole it already. No, sorry. In here. We brought copies with us. I do not know where they are available, but you can find out. This it will be somewhere here, maybe in the shop. Yes, in the shop. It's in the shop. You can, if you wish, you can. Why don't you first go through the book, see if it interests you, and then I don't want to ask you to buy something which doesn't interest you. You just look at it, and you will be caught. I'm sure. Hare Krishna. Good. Hogya. Hogya means it's done. What do you think? You may think, Maharaj, you are always saying this. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, oh, Guru Maharaj, they said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you always say we should chant. You say it to someone who is young, and you say it to someone young in spiritual life, you say it also later for others. Why? It's the same thing, same instruction. And listen to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's answer. He said, mathematics, like 2 + 2 = 4, is said to a young child who starts the school. 2 + 2 = 4. I think we all know it. And the same thing is taught to an advanced student of mathematics who studies algebra. That's some complicated mathematics. I don't know what that is, but it sounds complicated enough to be respectful. It's the same thing, but is it really the same thing? Well, by the context heißt das Zusammenhang, was da noch dran hängt, nicht? It is quite different. You chant it on the level, you chant the holy name in the same way, and it has different effects. It works on a computer when you do algebra, because you use it in a certain context. It's the context which it's the same formula, but the context makes it into something totally different. And then he gave an example. At the beginning, the devotee has not much taste. He's technically an ajata ruchi. His taste is not yet born. Sadaka. He's ajata ruchi sadaka. But he chants the holy name, therefore, without taste. But then on the stage of bhava, which is a state where Krishna starts to reveal his form to the devotee, he also chants, but he chants with ruchi. The context is different. He doesn't chant without ruchi. He chants like the beginner. He chants with ruchi. What is the sound? It's a nama ruchi sadagana is one of the symptoms of bhava, of that exalted stage. No, and what turns the tasteless chanter or the chanter who chants without taste into a devotee who is in ecstasy when he chants. The devotee who is on the stage of bhava is with his relationship with Krishna. So it must be trained now if you ever want to come to that state. It cannot be ignored. Otherwise, you only have the shadow of the practice, not the real thing. Therefore, this little understanding that while you chant, that you connect with Krishna, maybe by starting with prayers, maybe by looking at deities, that is done in our tradition. Now, maybe by preparing your mind first, by reading in the Bhagavatam, that must be done, and then the result is very, very, you will think, oh, I chanted for the first time today. Hare Krishna. No? Yes? So, more information here. I some of you just look like, I don't know how to interpret this glance which goes into the void. It could mean hunger. It could mean sadness. It could mean boredom. Many possibilities are there. It could mean just intense thinking also. And let us take the fourth thing. Then it's more upbeat. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions regarding this point? Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari.
I was just thinking, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is mentioning that over the mind is the intelligence, over the intelligence is the soul, and that the soul has the choice to decide. But very often in japa session, I got the wrong belief that, no, actually the mind is much stronger at trying and trying. I just cannot believe that I can do something out of it. Sometimes even I do a wonderful new book, I have prayers, and I chant, and I read the prayers, but just I cannot get access.
Get access,
the mind is too strong. what would I guess it might be similar for everyone, because I don't know what do we do in such a situation.
When can you overcome the influence of the mind? Very often when there's really good prasadam, for which you, I mean, I'm not saying just extraordinary prasadam, but really good prasadam. I have seen, for some of us, it's almost like the last shelter, you know. Nothing works. Prasadam, I mean, I'm speaking of good, of an Amarananda pizza, for instance. Just to remember it is beyond everything. When there is a taste of an attractive taste, a sweetness there, then the mind is overcome. It's attracted to something. Krishna speaks about this. It's so difficult to control the senses, but if on experiencing a higher taste, no, it becomes easy. So here comes a secret which I never knew before. Yesterday I talked about it a little bit. Bhakti, composed of hearing and chanting, that's will not be sweet. It's not sweet, he says. Bhakti composed of hearing and chanting will not be sweet without proper association. Therefore, Dhruva prays for the association of those who continually perform bhakti. So someone will say, but then this Dhruva will still have fear of the ocean of suffering caused by samsara. So Dhruva overhears this. Someone says, ha, you may have good association and do your bhakti, but what is your program with samsara? You know, what will you do about this? That is the harsh reality of your mind and your senses and the world. Raising his hands in pride, Dhruva Maharaj answers now. He says, I will overpower the terrible ocean of material life, full of countless pains, by the strength of that association. Let it come before me, this material misery. Let it come before me. Let us see. No, Madhavananda gave a lecture on this. It's like when a strong man says, okay, show me what you got. Show me what you got. And so the devotee will say to the material energy, show you, come. nothing is impossible for me. I will be drunk, with tasting the nectar of Krishna's qualities and pastimes. The qualities of material life, such as rivalry, ignorance, and hatred, cannot make this drunkard suffer any longer. Even death cannot touch this person who has drunk immortal nectar. By bhakti, produced from association with devotees, one directly meets the Lord. Then, and so on. It's those who wish to know, find this. It's 4.9.11 in the Bhagavata. It's the Tika or purport of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Prabhupada's purport is really interesting on this. He says to try to become Krishna conscious without the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a hallucination. And when I read this verse, oh no, what? Our dear ISKCON has not always given me pleasure and inspiration. What? This is what it means. Without devotees, that's the idea. It's not possible, because the taste of this, it seems to come in good devotee association. And we all know this. When we are in good association with devotees, when there is an exchange which nourishes me, then I get the strength to do things. It is an experience. That's Gaurahari, why we want to do, why we give the Govardhan retreats, because there is the greatest of all devotees, Haridas, Vaya, Giri Govardhan, just next. I was so happy when my older brother, we are different individuals. So when he came there and he stayed for 2 weeks and he said, I don't know what happened to me. What? I heard Giriraj and he answered my questions. I said, would you like to talk more about this? I'm totally interested because I think finally I got my brother. and he said, but it's not for a public repetition. But he said, and it was very meaningful for him on many very deep questions in his life. So the nectar comes when you hear, and that's what, when you're with devotees. And that's what I want to say, my dear devotees. I know we are, that some of you who will listen to this on the internet will, and who are older, you could maybe not come to the class due to time reasons or other things. And some who are disappointed, they think, well, this prasanga, the sangha did not really work for me. I know that this is there in the space, and I have two answers to this. Is when it's so difficult for you to have so any association, Prabhupada had said to us that we could meet him in his literature and in his vani, his instructions. So you may listen to tapes or whatever it's now, the technical format, but the recordings, I wanted to say. You may see videos, see the new movie, the Hare Krishna, the movement, the mantra, and the Swami who started it all. See his integrity. See how he is a real devotee who walked the planet Earth and distributed nectar. It will do something to you. Or if you are willing to try again the association, then I give you a tip. Don't expect what you can get from the devotees. Enter it with another totally different perspective. That is, how can I make it work? Not how can it serve me? And magically, by taking yourself the way you are now, means not yet enlightened, out of the center, by moving that out of the center and just trying to act on the spiritual platform as good as you can, you will see miracles happening. From devotees, you will see, wow. But you may have to switch the perspective from the expectant mentality to the giving mentality. And then it will work. Try. It's a, you know, why not? Why not? Let's be adventurous. Let us put ourselves a little to the side. We can park this false self. It will, and then later visit it if we are interested. And we can just try to act as proper devotees. It will not run away. It is there. And it will be very happy when you come back from the association of devotees with some nectar in your heart, because ultimately that is not so bad. That other self can help us very much. The mind can be our friend, the body can be our friend, no problem. They are most welcome. That's all we got in this life. No? But they have this dual function, they can bind or free. You know, that's because they are material and not yet spiritualized. No, they can. So yes, this association with devotees, it will it will very much who are engaged in hearing and chanting. Not, you know, if they, sometimes our devotees have other things to do and they are very busy in, with the computer and the new program and the app on the mobile telephone and so on. That is also necessary, but here it is related to devotee sangha when they do hearing and chanting. You might, I'm 100% sure, Gaurahari, you know me and I know you. And you know that I have made my, I have made my experiences with association, which is not so encouraging. You know that I have opened my heart to you in the past. Oh, why is it necessary? Is it helpful? This discussion, you know, and so on. I'm very convinced of this, really. And if you have difficulties with all devotees, then find like-minded people. And if you don't find like-minded people, maybe you have not searched enough, or maybe there's something for you to learn. And you have to look, what am I consistently overlooking? That causes that I don't find people with whom I can relate, and people just move away from me. Krishna. Now time is also there, my dear devotees. I'm over time, really, and I don't want to now hold up the whole program. I wish you a wonderful Sangha Mela with deep insights. And some nectar some nectar that will come your way and make you drunk. I hope this is not quoted out of context, which will just overwhelm you with nectar so that you will be a true nectar person. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki, Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.